We begin today by acknowledging that we are gathered on the traditional homelands of the Tiwa Pueblo people, who have stewarded this land throughout the generations and continue to care for this place and call it home. We recognize that Indigenous peoples are not historical subjects, but part of our communities, and that they offer invaluable wisdom for how we live today and into the future, in relationship with Mother Earth and our human and non-human neighbors. Today, we read our lessons from the First Nations version. Some of you were here on the first Sunday of Advent when Pastor Lynn Hinton was here and introduced us to this version, and I just love this one. It's a Bible translation prepared by Indigenous peoples in North America to reflect their tradition and experience. I chose to use the translation today because Pentecost invites us to hear God's story in many languages and cultures. I'm sure many of us here have been at Pentecost Sundays where we read the gospel in lots of different languages. And so my sermon today focuses on the way that God's Spirit calls us to cross cultural boundaries and physical borders to share the good news of Jesus, Creator sets free. Before his ascension into heaven, Jesus said to his followers, "After I'm gone, wait. The Holy Spirit will come to you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and in all the nations." And so his followers gathered to wait and pray. They waited for 50 days. They were all together in one place, not just the 12 disciples, but 120 followers of Jesus, when Jesus' promise was fulfilled. I don't know what they expected from the Holy Spirit, but probably not this. Now, many of you have heard me say that the word in Hebrew for spirit, ruach, is the same as the word for breath and wind. In the gospel reading today, Jesus gives the disciples his spirit by breathing upon them. In Luke's story, it is not so gentle. In Luke's story, the Holy Spirit comes as a wind that rushes in with a loud sound and disrupts everything. And then tongues of flame appear, hovering in the air and resting upon each follower of Jesus. It is not an intimate, peaceful moment, but a moment filled with compelling energy and excitement and perhaps even a bit of fear. Jesus has given his followers a mission to tell the story of his life, death, and resurrection, to share the good news of God's love and care for the world to all the nations. And now on this day, the Spirit comes and the mission begins. The Spirit has chosen her time well. It is Pentecost, a Jewish festival which happens 50 days after Passover. And Jews from all over the known world have come to Jerusalem in pilgrimage to worship and to celebrate. Let's pause for a moment and recognize what that means. There are Jews, people of the tribe of Israel, who have left their original homeland and are living in new places. God's people have been on the move. As a result of war and exile, of famine and oppression, God's people have been on the move, migrants who have settled throughout what we know now as the Middle East. And many have returned to the holy city for this festival day, and among them are non-Jews as well. Some of the non-Jews are even believers in the God of Israel. And many of them, the Jews and the non-Jews, don't speak the local Aramaic language. And so, when the Spirit moves the followers of Jesus to begin telling his story, they begin to speak to all of the people in their own languages. Let's consider that for a moment. The Spirit could just as easily have enabled all the people to understand what the followers of Jesus were saying in Aramaic, the language of Jerusalem, or in Hebrew, the language of their scripture. But instead, the followers of Jesus speak in all the unique and lovely languages of all the people. It is a beautiful, chaotic celebration of the beautiful diversity of peoples and cultures gathered in that place on that day. For the rest of the book of Acts, and in the letters of Paul, we see the followers of Jesus struggling with the question of inclusion. Do we require new believers to be like us, to speak our language and adopt our religious laws and cultural customs? Or do we adapt, widening that welcome, sharing the story of Jesus in such a way that each person can live it in their own context and their own culture? Peter and Paul and many of the first followers of Jesus are convinced, with some further nudging by the Holy Spirit, if you remember, the book of Acts of the Holy Spirit is pushing a little, to take that second way of inclusion. They recognize that telling the story of Jesus to all nations, sharing the good news of God's love, requires them to cross borders and social boundaries. Last week, the Rocky Mountain Synod gathered in El Paso for our annual assembly. For our annual assembly. And the theme of the assembly was Cruzando Fronteras, Crossing Borders. The participants did exactly that as we spent the day on Wednesday doing excursions to shelters and churches and programs that care for immigrants who cross our southern border. Some went across the border to Juarez and to the Colonias on the outskirts of Juarez. We heard stories of immigrants who have come into our country and those who are waiting to come. We participated in a Bible study called Faith on the Move, which connects the stories of migrants around the world with the biblical story of Exodus. It was a fantastic experience, and you can all read more about it and see more pictures in the newsletter that's going to come out this week. And that includes some reflections by our voting members, Martha Debelak and Shelley Takeuchi. On the last morning, as part of his report to the assembly, Bishop Gonia said, and he said, I could quote him on this, "Let me be clear as a white male bishop in this church, and I'm speaking specifically to those of you here who are white. If each of us do not commit ourselves to the work of racial justice as something that is foundational, intentional, and consistent within our own spiritual development, we will never cross the border leading us to a fuller experience of God's beloved community. This church will not and should not wait for you or me to get it, to recognize that the work of racial justice is part and parcel of a life of faith in order to move more deeply into an experience of beloved community. Now is the time, friends. Now is the time." I love this bishop. He's been with us for 11 years, and he's dived deeply into this work of racial justice and worked with our Synod Council, with his own staff, at really carrying out this work. This is a painting by artist Hei Ki. You're probably familiar with his work because I use it a lot. I love it. He is a Lutheran Christian. I love his work because it is so beautifully presents the stories of scripture in the cultural context of his Chinese heritage. In this painting, you see not only the followers of Jesus touched by tongues of flame, but images of Jerusalem, and even echoes, I think, up there in the corner of the story of Acts when Paul preaches in Athens. It's a depiction of that movement to the nations put into his own cultural context. When God's Spirit sent God's people out to share the good news, she did not begin with the assumption that all God's people are the same. She did not cover over differences and pretend they weren't there. Instead, she gave those first evangelists all the languages of all the people and cultures who had gathered in that place. She inspired Paul to say, "I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears God and does what is right is acceptable to God." You know the message God sent to all the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all, Creator sets free. And in the book of Acts, God's Spirit continues this work begun on Pentecost, using the followers of Jesus to welcome men and women, young and old, wealthy people and laborers and slaves, people of many races and cultures, sexual minorities excluded by Jewish law. She welcomes Jews and Roman citizens and even soldiers of the Roman Empire. That is the movement of the Holy Spirit started on the Pentecost day 2,000 years ago, a day that is often called the birthday of the church. It is a movement the church has too often forgotten, but which can still be a part of who we commit ourselves to be in this time and place. May we who follow Jesus now remember the radical welcome and inclusion offered by God's Holy Spirit and offer such welcome and inclusion today. Come, Holy Spirit. Amen.